In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Have you ever encountered someone who you thought was a bit uppity? You know, a real nose in the air, holier than thou, puffed up, pompous, what have you. You know, the kind of person makes you think, who does he think he is? He really needs to be put in his place. Well, to get right to the point, too often that person is you. And the one who puts you in your place is Jesus himself. If you've got a pen, go ahead and write that down on your bulletin, in your notes somewhere. Jesus' cross puts us all in our place. Jesus' cross puts us all in our place. I'm going to give you a few more things to write down and listen for as well. First, we all need to be put in our place. We all need to be put in our place. Second, to be put in your place is to be humbled. To be put in your place is to be humbled. And third, to stay in that place is humility. To stay in that place is humility. This is the lesson that Jesus teaches us today. Now, we all do need to be put in our place. That's what Jesus saw when he went to dinner that night. Men chose their seats based on how important they thought they were compared to everyone else. The default mode of our sinful minds is to do exactly that, to pick our own place. We decide how important we are and what we deserve and who around us that we're better than. We decide who's in our clique and who's out. We decide who's good enough to be around us. We make those people our friends. We shower them with time and with affection, with gifts and invitations, with help and aid. And we also decide who's valuable enough to us so that we should at least put up with them, keep them as good enough acquaintances, just do just enough for them so that we can use them when we need them. And there's one more category too. We decide who to shut out, who to ignore, who to shame. These are the ones that we don't like because the way they look different or sound annoying or smell bad or act strangely. These are the ones who make us uncomfortable. These are the ones we deem useless to us. And so we shun them, not caring if we hurt them or if we isolate them. We ignore them. We turn our backs on them in their time of need. We certainly don't stand and meet them. We don't sit down and chat with them, much less invite them over into our houses. We avoid eye contact. We refuse to even look at them and pretend that we don't hear them. We cringe at the thought of talking to them or having to listen to them. We don't want to kneel down next to them at this altar, much less share this meal with them, share the same cup. The only time that we deign to notice such people is when we stand up in the stirrups of our high horse to point and say, Lord, I thank you for not making me like this man. There but for the grace of God go I. Now what makes us think that we deserve such a high place, so far above our fellow human being? What makes us think that we deserve such a high place that we would even set ourselves above our God? Has not everything we have and everything we are been given to us? Are not these people his creatures? Are not these Christians his children? Is not this his own table? Is not this his own body? Who are we to scorn what God has made and those whom he loves? Who are we to shun those for whom the Lord Jesus was crucified? Just who do you think you are? Repent. You too are a sinner. Repent for choosing your own place, for choosing your own honor, for choosing yourself over everyone else, even Jesus. Repent for loving and forgiving and helping others based only on how much you like them, Repent of scorning your fellow sinners out of pride. Repent of looking down on them. Instead, look side to side and know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not one of us can ascribe a single good thing to our own name. No. Instead, look up and see true humility. Your God, the creator of all, humbled himself to be born of his own and become part of his own creation. Jesus humbled himself to be born of a virgin, an unmarried virgin that people no doubt started spreading nasty rumors about when they found out that she was pregnant. He humbled himself to take on human flesh that can hunger and thirst, that can sweat and stink, that can bleed and die. He humbled himself to live among sinful humanity, to touch their sick and dying bodies. He humbled himself to come to dinner at the house of a man who hated him, surrounded by those who wanted nothing more than to see him fall. Jesus humbled himself to sit at table with them, to eat with them, to speak with them. Jesus humbled himself to submit to what mankind wanted for him. He humbled himself to be exalted to the only place that man would give him, high and lifted up on a cross. He submitted himself to their rejection and mockery. He submitted himself to this and humbled himself to die as a sinner, the lowest of the low, cursed by God and shunned by his Father himself, as well as all men. And because he loved you, in his humility, he stayed right there in this place that we gave him. In his humility and love, he stayed on that cross to die for you. Jesus' cross humbles us all. Now, we would presume to walk by and say, well, thank you for not making me like this man. There but for the grace of God go I. But our voice catches in our throats. Because there, right there, is our place. That is the place that we deserve for our pride and our contempt of God and his people. There is the place of every sinner. We can't exalt ourselves to any higher place than this cross. We can only look side to side and see all humanity gathered on equal ground, all equally guilty of the sin for which Jesus died. We are all equally humbled. Jesus' cross puts us in our place. But know this. By this cross you are humbled, and by this cross your Savior has exalted you. Jesus' cross puts you in a new place, in a better place, and not the place you deserve. Since Jesus took that place of dishonor that you deserved on the cross, you are given his place of honor instead. He humbled himself to come down to you and tell you face to face, friend, move up higher. Your place is not as an outcast, not as a rejected sinner, but as a child of God. You've been given a seat of honor at the highest table that there is, the table of the wedding feast of the Lamb, the table at which you are about to eat and to drink. And you come here not as a prideful sinner, not with the honors that you would presume, but you come as a true saint with the holiness and honor that Jesus gives you. You come to this wedding feast not just as a guest, but as the bride of Christ. So Jesus now says to you, beloved, come be with me. Because of Jesus' cross, this is your new place. You are a forgiven sinner. And there is no seat higher than to be sat down next to Jesus. And Jesus won't let you take a lower seat. You can't presume to say to God, "Oh, my sin is too big, it's too dark, it's too evil for you to forgive. I'm just too wretched a person to be here." Just who do you think you are? You're a sinner for whom Jesus has died. You are a sinner who has been completely forgiven. In Jesus, your rightful place now is with God. Now let's go back to our gospel lesson again and pick up one more thing. Little detail. If you look at your bulletin, look at verse 2 in the gospel lesson, which reads, "And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy." If you've got your pen still, underline dropsy. Now, we've heard of Jesus healing leprosy and fevers and all kinds of illnesses, so why is it important to know that Jesus healed this man of dropsy? What does that have to do with humility? Well, dropsy is the old word for what doctors today call edema. It's when your flesh swells up more than it should. Now, are you starting to see a connection? This man's flesh was swollen. It was puffed up. What's happening in his body is exactly what sinful pride does to our souls. And that's what the sinful flesh naturally does. And it takes a miracle to be healed of it. It takes an act of God to keep our pride from swelling up in sin. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing for you today, too. Your sinful pride would swell your eyes shut so that you couldn't see your sin, much less confess it. So Jesus heals you. He forgives you of that pride. And now, having been healed, you're truly humbled. So you can write that down too. True humility is a miracle of Jesus. True humility is a miracle of Jesus. And your greatest humility is to confess yourself a sinner and confess Jesus as your Savior. We can only live that confession, we can only live in humility by the power of the Holy Spirit who Jesus gives us. It's only because of Jesus, then, that we in humility can recognize our fellow human beings as our equals, to recognize our fellow Christians as brothers and sisters. It's only because of Jesus that we can love those that we don't like, help those that we can't stand, give selflessly to those who can't repay us. It's only because of Jesus that we can speak to the shamed, sit with the outcasts, and listen to them. It's only because of Jesus that we can kneel down with our fellow sinners at the same altar, share the same divine meal, drink from the same cup of Jesus' atoning blood. So now come. Come to the place to which the host of this feast has called you. Come, eat and drink at this place of honor with your beloved Jesus and his beloved family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We stand to sing.